హరిః ఓం గణానాం త్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే. నోతిభిః సీద సాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. అమానిత్వమదంభిత్వం అహింసాక్షాంతిరార్జవం ఆచార్యోపాసనం శౌచం స్థైర్యమాత్మవినిగ్రహ. సో వి ఆర్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ అహింస, దేశగత అహింస. సో వి కీప్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ హింస ఇన్ సర్టన్ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ కాలగత అహింస. సో పీపుల్ కీప్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ హింస ఇన్ సర్టన్ టైమ్స్ లైక్ ముహూర్త ఏకాదశి ఎట్సెట్రా. అండ్ ఏకాదశి నో హింస, ఆన్ సాటర్డే నో హింస, ఏకాదశి నో హింస. దిస్ ఈజ్ ఎ బిట్ వైదిక. సాటర్డే నో హింస ఇస్ మోర్ మోడర్న్ పురాణ. అండ్ సమయగత అహింస మీన్స్ when you are in the company of a mahatma you don't do ahimsa. So you feel like beating the guy but you keep quiet for the present because the mahatma is around. Doesn't look nice when the mahatma is around to beat somebody, and he will have his food and walk away within half an hour and then beat him black and blue. So this is called samayagata ahimsa. So maintain ahimsa at a given time and rest of the time no ahimsa. Then vyaktigata ahimsa. Like for example, we don't hurt cows. Cow is sacred. What about buffalo? Buffalo can be killed. Can be beaten, can be killed. Anything can be done to buffalo, but not cow. This distinction between cows and buffaloes, it is so pathetic in India that buffaloes suffer a lot. What they don't do to the cow, they do double to the buffalo. Very unfortunate. Poor buffaloes, very lumbering animals, and they suffer to no end. And no himsa with children. Children should not be subjected to any himsa. Means others can be subjected to. So very funny ideas. So this way, all these himsas are avoided. 81 kinds of himsa are avoided. Generally, very tough to live a life where all the 81 kinds of himsa is absent. But in case you live like that is there is a name for it. It is called ahimsa pratishtha. Pratishtha means a firm grounding. That is the pratishtha, very firmly grounded in it. And so there is a sutra in Yoga Darshanam, ahimsa pratishthayam tatsannidhau వైరత్యాగః. దిస్ ఇస్ ది సూత్ర ఫ్రమ్ ది థర్డ్ వాల్యూమ్ ఆఫ్ ది యోగదర్శన కాల్డ్ విభూతిపాద. సో వెన్ ఎ పర్సన్ వెన్ ఎన్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఈజ్ థరోలీ గ్రౌండెడ్ ఇన్ అహింస, దట్ మీన్స్ ఎనీ వన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ 81 కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ అహింస ఈజ్ అబ్సెంట్ ఇన్ హిజ్ లైఫ్, హీఈస్ దట్ ఈజ్ ఎ మహావ్రత ఫర్ హిమ్. వీ కెన్ సే మహాత్మా గాంధీ ఈజ్ వన్ సచ్ పర్సన్. అండ్ సో వెన్ సచ్ అహింస ఈజ్ లివ్డ్ by a person, so in his presence tat sannidhau vairatyagaha, even the people who are in conflict they become quiet and they become peaceful in his presence, because now he is the embodiment of ahimsa. And so he will influence just his presence like a rose by its presence fills the space with fragrance. Similarly, a mahatma of that kind by his mere presence, so he radiates ahimsa all around. So many examples are given. Like for example, when this, in Purana it comes, when this king went to a rishi's ashram, hermitage, in the forest, the rishi lives there, the king goes to visit him, to pay his respects. He finds unusually that in the vicinity of that hermitage, in that vicinity, the tiger and the deer, they are together. The tiger doesn't hurt the deer in that vicinity. But just move away 100 yards or 200 yards away from that place, the tiger will pounce upon the deer and kill. But not in that immediate vicinity of that Mahatma. The tiger and deer, they stay friendly. The cat and mouse stay friendly. This is what he notices. In fact, in one situation, this person was searching for a Mahatma, and then he finds that a cat and mouse are friendly. Oh my goodness, this is something unusual, because they have sahaja vaira. By birth, they are inimical to each other. And so, but here at this place, the cat is not pouncing upon the mouse. It is friendly with the mouse. This Mahatma must be somewhere around here. And then he finds the Mahatma. So this way, that is the power of ahimsa. And the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Navadvipa, who is the great saint of devotion, the bhakti path. The path of devotion is there, bhakti marga, bhakti yoga. And so he is the great exponent of bhakti, total devotion to Ishvara. And so he used to sing the name of Ishvara and with ecstasy. With a total joy he was singing the name of Ishvara. And so even while going in the forest, he is doing it. And in the forest, all the animals were attracted to him. That is how it is described. And so when he is singing the name of Ishvara, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, the animals are around him. And they are listening to him, they are looking at him and listening to him. And what are these animals? Tigers, lions, deer, etc. And they are all together. They are not hurting each other. So his presence is so pious that even animals forget their instinctive hatred or violence. Instinctively they commit violence. But even the animals are influenced so deeply by the mere presence of these Mahatmas. That is the glory of ahimsa. Ahimsa pratishthayam tat sannidhau vairatyagaha. In Nokhali, during Indian independence, in a place called Nokhali, which is in Bangladesh now, I think, so there was violence, sectarian violence, and Mahatma Gandhi, he arrived in the town. So the moment he arrived, the news spread, and all the violence came to an end. All the violence. And then he was very deeply pained that the people could hurt each other like that. People of the same country, the same, just because the religion is different, the method of worship is different. Otherwise, they are all same country people, and all living like brothers in the same community, same society. They interact with each other. One sells the goods, the other purchases the goods. Like that, they were living like brothers till yesterday. But suddenly, for some emotional reason, they are hurting each other. So Mahatma Gandhi arrives, all the violence comes to an end. And then he sits there in a public place on a cot, and he says, "I am keeping fast." So for what? By my keeping fast, just satyagraha, so people should shun violence. For that purpose, I am keeping fast. And so he continues to fast. Nehru personally comes from Delhi. Nehru is the Prime Minister. The British have left already. So Nehru arrives in that place and personally requests him, "Come on, you put an end to this fast. What is this fast? You are an old, frail person, very old. And this kind of fast, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, it is going on. And the weight is coming down, and the blood analysis, doctors are very worried. And so he is the father of nation, Jati Pita. So you cannot allow this." So he says no. Then Patel makes an appeal. He appeals to all the people of that community, that town. "You all come and appeal to Mahatma Gandhi. Then he may end this fasting." Then all the community leaders, they come voluntarily. They were killing each other till the other day. But now they all come together voluntarily and appeal to him. "We are all here. Yes, we tried to kill each other. We organized riots. And we we have promoted violence, true. But now we have shunned violence. Come on, you eat your food. Why should you not eat food if we kill each other? What is your problem? Come on, eat the food. Like that they appeal to Gandhi in a very harsh tones. Then he says, I will eat food if you give up all your arms, go back and bring your weapons which you used for committing all the crimes, and so you surrender them before me. Then I will take food. Otherwise I will not take food. I will die. I will die means he is not blackmailing. He says, I will not take food. Satyagraha. And so these people go back and bring all the caches of arms and put before him in a huge pile, big heap of weapons. Old-fashioned violence, you know. In India, violence means sticks, daggers, churika, swords, all kinds of machetes. So all such weapons, very primitive weapons, they are used to kill each other or to injure each other. So they were all piled before him. Then the local police people come and take away. They take possession of all these arms, and then these people take a promise. They take an oath. We will not encourage violence anymore. We will not engage in violence anymore. We will live like brothers. And then he accepted some juice for breaking the fast. That is Mahatma Gandhi. So he just sits there and all violence comes to an end. Government deploys units of police forces. They are not able to control violence, but he just sits there. This is the most modern example of Patanjali's Sutram. Ahimsa pratishthayam tat sannidhav vairatyagah. So Mahatma Gandhi, he is the father of Indian nation. Today Indians are, compare India with Pakistan. Pakistan is a failed state. And compare it with India. India has all its deficiencies, true. But it is a thriving democracy. And Indians are highly educated. They go to every part of the world. You go anywhere, you find them. And they are doing extremely well. And they are respected in the society because they are hard-working people, engineers, doctors, crafts people, professors, mathematicians and all that. So how that happened? It happened because the ethos on which the country was built by great the pioneers of the nation like Mahatma Gandhi, Pandit Nehru. So they were the people who laid the foundations of the social life in India. And we all came up from those foundations, and we were brought up in that country, which was, in spite of all of its deficiencies, it has the foundations laid by these great men, of the statesmen, non-violence, truth, and so democracy, whatever. So that's why Indian communities are prospering today all over the world. That is the foundation. We have to acknowledge that foundation. Because of Mahatma Gandhi, Pandit Nehru and those great people, we are what we are today. And it is non-violence of Mahatma Gandhi that makes India respected everywhere. And while you drive through Eastern, near that bridge, while crossing Eastern, there are two bridges. On one bridge you have to pay toll, 75 paisa you have to pay. And the other bridge is free, you need not pay any toll. So that is a little sideways. And while going through that bridge, there is a huge billboard on which Mahatma Gandhi was there. Now it is not there, unfortunately. Why they removed it, I don't know. So Gandhi is respected there. And if you go to Canada, in Richmond Hill, there is a statue of Mahatma Gandhi, very highly respected, very beautiful statue. Just visiting the place is like a pilgrimage. So that is the glory of non-violence, ahimsa, ahimsa paramo dharma. So we have to live ahimsa in our lives. If we do that, it is divinity. Ahimsa is a divinity is not different from ahimsa. You acquire the ahimsa, you have already acquired divinity. So God is not like gentleman sitting and he will come and hug you. It is not like that. It is the divinity. God is an impersonal reality. God is not a person. And that impersonal reality is in you, only covered up by ignorance. And ahimsa will bring it up. Then kshantihi. Kshantihi is another name, another word is sahanam. Kshama. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Readily forgiving others. Some people find it very hard to forgive. Whereas some others, they easily forgive. And even a small thing is hard to forgive for some. Whereas for some others, even the biggest violence or biggest mistake committed against them, biggest injury caused to them, biggest injustice perpetrated against them, is easily forgiven. Very easy to forgive. It comes very easy to forgive. That forgiveness, and so endurance, enduring. So endure difficulty, endure the insensitivity of the other people. So that endurance, it comes, it is a noble virtue. You see, the noble lord at Naipaul, you know, have you heard Naipaul's name? He visited India. He is from Indian, he is of Indian origin. I think he is from Caribbean islands of Indian origin, whatever. And then he wrote an essay. He is from London. He lives in London. He wrote an essay. In that essay, he is very critical of Indian social life, where people are very insensitive and they don't bother to keep some order, etc. And there is a lot of hustle and bustle, lot of dirt and checking things all around, littering. So, they don't maintain social systems properly and nobody protests. So a cow is sitting in the middle of the road and everybody is going round the cow. It is sitting there. It is just in the middle of the road. You cannot believe it. Just sitting there. And it became insensitive because it is living in the city. And so this traffic, etc., it is not affected by that. It just sits there. And then all the traffic, hundreds and thousands of vehicles, they will be going around the cow. And some estimate is made. 10,000 vehicles have passed on either side, both sides put together, before this cow decided to get up and walk away. 10,000 vehicles have passed. And all these 10,000 drivers and all the people who are occupying those vehicles, they all took that incident as very routine. Nobody made any complaint. Nobody made even a single effort to throw the cow away, to drive the cow away, or at least tell the policeman, "Arey, do something." Nobody did anything. So, means 100,000 people have passed around this cow in a period of 1 hour without uttering one word of protest. So, Naipaul found this very odd and very unbecoming of a modern society. Then Tolstoy, you know, Leo Tolstoy, he visited India. And then he wrote, the Indian society, its endurance and the kshanti and its perseverance, resilience is something amazing. Any amount of insensitivity, corruption, impurities on the road, litter, and dirt, any amount of these negative things are easily endured by these communities. And there is something in them which no other community in the world seems to have, that endurance. My kudos to Indian society. That is what he wrote. You can verify in the literature. Go to Google and get all those things. I paraphrased those things in my words. Therefore, so I am not suggesting that Naipaul wrote all wrong things. I am not suggesting anything. He is a noble laureate. And he makes a point also. What he says is also true. Our social systems need to be improved. But what Naipaul missed, Leo Tolstoy caught. There I am very happy. That is my happiness. I am sharing my joy with you. So that endurance. So I was wondering, where from this endurance, how beautiful it is, you know. So, there are great authors who have celebrated this sahanam of the Indian society. I remember an episode, Sant Ekanath in Pandharpur, which is on the banks of Chandrabhaga River. So he is a great saintly person. Sant is saint in English. In Hindi it is called Sant. Anyway, so he used to take bath in the river Chandrabhaga early in the morning. This is the Indian custom. Pious people do, I mean religious people, spiritual people, they go to take bath in the river. By the time sun comes, their bath is over and they are already visiting, they are already busy with their daily worship and all that. So, this Sant Ekanath, he took bath in Chandrabhaga, and even now the place is there where he used to take bath and all that. And so then walk a few hundred yards to the shrine of Panduranga Vitthala and have the darshan of Vitthala, Shri Krishna, and then go to his kuti. That was his routine. He was a saintly person, a sadhu. And then when he was taking bath, one Muslim, he doesn't have much respect for this Hindu custom and all that. So when Sant Ekanath was coming up the stairs, you know, you go down the stairs to the river and come up the stairs after taking bath in the river. And then what he did, he took some mud from there. So much, the place has so much mud and other things are there. Some useless things are lying around all the time. And so he took some of it and threw upon Ekanath. And so he was carrying some water in a vessel and wet clothes on the shoulders. And so he was wearing wet clothes only after taking bath. This is the Indian way of taking bath. So in the river. And so when all this mud was falling upon him, now what he has to do? So he goes back. He climbs down the steps and takes bath again. And cleans up his things and again he is coming up. This man this time throws some dung is there, cow dung, etc. So horse droppings, all those things will be there around. And he took some of it and threw upon Ekanath. Then Ekanathji, he again went down and took the bath and came up. Again the same thing. This was done 11 times. 11 times dung was thrown upon him. So he took a 11th time the bath and he is coming up. Then this Muslim, there were tears in his eyes. He was highly repenting for his crime. And he falls upon the feet of Ekanath. Then Sant Ekanath lifts him. Why do you fall at my feet? I have to fall at your feet. What is this? I am repenting for my sin. No, no, you have not done any sin. You have given me the glorious opportunity of taking bath in the sacred river of Chandrabhaga 11 times on a single morning day. That is my privilege and my joy it is. Because of you I got that opportunity. I wholeheartedly thank you. Lord Vitthala must bless you because you made me take the sacred bath 11 times on a single day. I am blessing you. God bless you. And he went away. This Muslim guy, he was dumbfounded. He doesn't know what to say. So he became a great devotee of Panduranga Vitthala. This is the story. So that is what is called kshantihi, sahanam, endurance. The endurance of endurance is considered, it is another name for that is resilience. You do not allow yourself to be overwhelmed by an adverse situation or by a wrong action perpetrated against you by the other person. So this is a great spiritual quality because in everyone you see the same God. That's why from that vision comes the endurance. For the Ekanath, Sant Ekanath, Vasudeva Sarvam. Everything is Ishvara. Sarva Bhutastham Atmanam, Sarva Bhutani Chatmani, Ikshate Yoga Yukta Atma, సర్వత్ర సమదర్శన. దిస్ ఇస్ ఫ్రమ్ 6th అధ్యాయ. యు మస్ట్ హావ్ స్టడీడ్ ఆల్రెడీ 29th వెర్స్. సో దట్ సర్వాత్మభావ, ఈవెన్ హీ మే హిజ్ యాక్షన్, బేస్డ్ ఆన్ హిజ్ యాక్షన్ ఇట్ అపియర్స్ దట్ హీ ఈజ్ ది ఎనిమీ. బట్ సపోజ్ దిస్ హ్యాండ్ ఈజ్ హిట్ బై దిస్ హ్యాండ్. నౌ దిస్ హ్యాండ్ ఈజ్ హిట్ అండ్ దిస్ ఈజ్ ది దిస్ పెర్పెట్రేటెడ్ దిస్ ఈజ్ ది పెర్పెట్రేటర్ ది రైట్ హ్యాండ్ ఈజ్ ది పెర్పెట్రేటర్ అండ్ ది లెఫ్ట్ హ్యాండ్ ఈజ్ ది విక్టిమ్. నౌ బట్ బోత్ హ్యాండ్స్ ఆర్ ఆపరేటింగ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది సేమ్ లైఫ్, సేమ్ పవర్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ది సేమ్ పవర్ బిట్వీన్ ది దట్ మూవ్స్ బోత్ ది హ్యాండ్స్. Suppose while eating food, sometimes you bite the tongue and a lot of pain will happen. Suppose when a very wonderful dish is served in the hurry and anxiety, so sometimes it does happen to everybody, it happens. It may happen to me also very time. Appa, so much pain. Then my mother said, you should not eat in such a big hurry, you should eat slowly, where will, nobody will take it away. It is yours. Nobody will take it away. Why do you hurry like that? And so you bite your tongue. Suppose the teeth bite the tongue. Then you take a stone and beat the teeth. Break them. You don't do that. Because the victim, the tongue, you are the victim. Because you are the tongue. And the perpetrator, the teeth, you are the perpetrator. So, therefore, when you are the victim and you are the perpetrator, you don't do anything about it. Then what do? You endure it. Pain is there, you know. So you endure it. This is how it is looked at. Therefore, the life which is here, it is the same life in everyone. Same life. It is the life which makes the trees grow. It is the same life which makes the birds fly, which makes the animals roam. And the creatures crawl, the small insects crawl and fly. It is the same life which is here, which makes the sun to take bath in the river. And it is the same life which makes this Muslim guy throw dung at the sun. Same life, not a different life. Therefore, instead of looking at the life behind the facade of the names and forms, you look at the name and form, and then he is the enemy, somebody else is the friend. But if you are able to see through the facade of names and forms and see the life, then there is no enemy. There is no enemy, there is no friend. I mean, there is no friend means the opposites are not there. There is only divinity. And so when you are awake to the divinity, then the same divinity is shining in the foe as well as the friend. Therefore, forgiveness and endurance becomes very spontaneous and natural. That quality is called Kshanti. Rabindranath Tagore, the noble laureate, in his poem called Gitanjali, which is awarded Nobel Prize. Gitanjali was awarded Nobel Prize. So Gitanjali is considered the celebration of human freedom. And so the Nobel Committee was dumbfounded to look at the soaring sublimal thoughts of the great poet, and so they have awarded Nobel Prize to it. In doing so, they have celebrated their own love for this poetry. They have not done favor to Rabindranath Tagore, they have done a favor to themselves in recognizing him. Sometimes when you recognize a Mahatma, you are favoring yourself. You are not doing any favor to the Mahatma, because Mahatma is beyond all these things. And so Rabindranath Tagore, he was a great philosopher. His poem, I am reading his poem to you. It's a celebration of Kshanti, means endurance and forgiveness. He says, when you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught and you smile inwardly, that is victory. That is the name of the poem in Gitanjali. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your taste offended, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you take it all in patient and loving silence, that is victory. Patience, Kshanti means patience. With patience comes silence. When you are impatient, then you are agitated, you become restless. Whereas patience brings a silence. That inner silence is the virtue, real virtue. And so, in kshanti, that inner silence is realized, therefore kshanti becomes a virtue. The fundamental virtue is the inner silence. So anything which establishes that inner silence becomes a virtue. Himsa makes you restless. Ahimsa establishes the silence. Therefore, ahimsa is virtue. Desire makes you restless. Desirelessness makes you silent. Therefore, desirelessness is a virtue, like that. He continues, when you are content with any food, any raiments, and climate and society, any solitude, any interruption, that is victory. People say, oh, I am interrupted, I am disturbed. That shows the absence of kshanti. Suppose you are never disturbed. You are never disturbed. That is kshanti. When you can bear with any disorder and irregularity and unpunctuality, any annoyance, that is victory. This is what Leo Tolstoy found. This kind of quality is what Leo Tolstoy noticed. And that is what he was praising India for, Indian society of his time. I'm not saying, you know, it is just an example. The same thing can happen in any other society also. When you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it all as he endures it. He means Ishvara, endures it. That is victory. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or to yearn after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is victory. Of course, this part of it is not kshanti, this is amanitvam, but the entire poem I am reading. The perfect victory is to triumph over oneself, to find in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Him means Ishvara. That is victory. Rabindranath Tagore. So, that is kshantihi. Then, arjavam. Arjavam, the word comes from ruju. Ruju means straightforward. This is ruju. This is ruju. Straight. Whereas this is jimha. Crooked. May be a little more also, but this is ruju. Straight. Vertical. Straight vertical. It is called ruju. The word ruju is the root for the word Arjuna. Arjuna came from ruju. Arjuna is a very straightforward person. Very straightforward. And no crookedness. So, this what they call diplomacy. Diplomacy is dvijapatvam, you know. They call diplomat. Supposed to be very great status. Means you talk double-tongued. Diplomat is what? Double-tongued. That is the word. D means double. So, means inwardly you hate the guy, but outwardly say, hello, how do you do? Very glad to meet you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. He hates him, but says thanks for coming. This is called diplomacy. You are supposed to be a diplomat, so you should not be a diplomat. Diplomacy is very bad. That is opposite of arjavam. So, rujutvam. So, very straightforward. Fair and frank. Once Swami Ramatirtha, he made a comment. He was visiting America. He was a great admirer of American society, Ramatirtha. He admired American society. Even Swami Vivekananda was a great admirer of American society. So, they were looking at the good points of the American society. There are bad points in every society. Like Indian society also has its bad points. All societies are like that. But the beauty lies in admiring the good points of the society. So, somebody asked Swami Vivekananda, why don't you say anything about slavery in America in your writings? Because he came here in 1899 or whatever. Still, some kind of racism was there in the society, in the West and all that, in the South, whatever. And so he came to San Francisco. And from there he travelled all the way to East. Even Swami Ramatirtha did the same in 1899 or 1900 or 1901. That was the period, 2-3 years gap, both of them. So then Swami Vivekananda replied, I went there not to find their loopholes. I went there to make friends with them. And therefore I see good points only. I see good, I don't see bad. That is what he said. So that is a wonderful world vision. That is a wonderful vision. You may be aware of the bad point, but you don't highlight the bad point. You try to see the good point. And coming to the point, so Swami Ramatirtha was a great admirer of American society. He said the Americans are progressing not because of religion. Religion is what? We have a lot more religion in India. That is, religion you don't tell us about religion. Because we can export religion to the moon also if you want. Because religion is our mainstream. In India, religion is the mainstream. We have plenty of it. If you want, you can take some of it. So anyway, the American society is very progressive in those days also. Not because of its religion, nor even not because of its science, not because of its science, but because of its arjavam, very fair, frank and straightforward in their social life. That's why they are progressive. They have this Vedantic quality of rujutvam, the arjava, the quality which Arjuna had, because of which alone Sri Krishna taught Gita to Arjuna, not to anybody else. So very straightforward, and that arjavam is defined as trikarana shuddhi, means what you think, you speak and you act. So manasyekam vachasyekam karmanyekam mahatmanam manasyanyat vachasyanyat karmanyanyat duratmanam. So what I think, I speak and I do. I think something, say something else, and do a third thing. That is the crookedness. That is the crooked. Means there is a bend in every situation. Whereas, think, speak, and act. All are in alignment, perfect alignment. This is called congruence. In psychology, there is a name to it. If you find a book on psychology, you will find a chapter called congruence. So there is congruence in manas, vachas and action. That is called arjavam. That is the straight line. So 3 points are in a straight line. Collinearity. That is what in mathematics they call it, collinear. 3 points, they have to satisfy certain conditions. Then only they will be collinear. So these are the 3. Manas, vachas and action. Some people, very routinely, they keep the 3 different. This is called diplomacy. Again, in diplomacy, you keep some cards close to your chest. That is how it is said. And don't display all your cards on the table. Put one card on the table. Make the other person put all his cards on the table. But you keep some cards close to your chest. This is called diplomacy. So, that may be very useful in politics and other places, but we are talking of spirituality, about Atma Sakshatkara. So here, diplomacy is considered very bad. And so arjavam, the congruence, is the thing, is the great quality. You see, there was a question in our childhood, we used to listen to this. How many are Pancha Pandavas? That is the question. The question has the answer in it. Pancha is 5, you know. So how many are the Pancha Pandavas? Then the sparrow thinks seriously and says they are three. The answer, he is giving answer, 3. 3. Three, you know, they are 3. Like the legs of a table. సో పంచపాండవాస్ ఆర్ త్రీ ఇన్ నంబర్ లైక్ ది లెగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎ టేబుల్. సో దెర్ ఈజ్ ద క్రూకెడ్నెస్ ఎవ్రీవేర్. ఐ మీన్ ది ఆప్షన్ నాన్ కొలీనియారిటీ. సో పంచ దెన్ ఇన్ ది ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పంచ ఎని మోర్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫోర్. అండ్ ఇన్ ది స్పీచ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ ఫోర్, ఇట్ ఈస్ త్రీ. అండ్ ఇన్ ది డిస్ప్లే ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ త్రీ, ఇట్ ఈస్ టూ. దిస్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ డిప్లొమసీ. సో ఎవ్రీవేర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ చేంజింగ్ మైండ్, స్పీచ్ అండ్ యాక్షన్. ది ఆపోజిట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఈజ్ ఆర్జవం. ది ఆర్జవ సో రుజుభావ అవక్రత్వం శంకర. రుజుభావ అవక్రత్వం. సో బి స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్, ఫోర్త్ రైట్, ఫ్రాంక్, ఫెయిర్, ఓపెన్. దట్ ఈస్ ది ఆర్జవం. Sometimes they argue, if we are like that, we are the losers. Doesn't matter. You keep arjavam and lose a few silly worldly things, rather than retain the worldly things and lose arjavam itself. Acquire crookedness to retain some advantage over the other person. That is all, you know, that is the advantage over the other guy. So that is not worth acquiring. So arjavam is a great quality. In fact, the arjavam is practiced at the level of the body, speech and mind once again, like ahimsa. Sharira arjava, the straightforwardness of the sharira. What is that? You live a simple and humble life. And keep the body in good health by good practices like exercise and yoga and pranayama. And you have to keep the body straight. That is sharira arjava. For example, the backbone should remain straight. So that is called sharira arjava. People who sit like this for any length of time, like cross-legged, close to the body, and the backbone is kept straight, like this they sit. If you sit like this for a length of time every day, that is the sharira arjavam, certain diseases won't come anywhere near you. So, in modern societies, people are given to comforts and luxuries, and in the process people become sick, very prematurely they become sick. For example, they say, if you sit in Padmasana, the yogasanas, in Padmasana, the backbone should be straight. So Shri Krishna also says, samam kaya shiro grivam. This is the kaya, shiraha and griva. All the three are held straight. Sama, ruju. So if you sit in Padmasana, or even ardha Padmasana, half Padmasana, if you sit daily, say 10-15 minutes, then the abdomen, and all the inner organs related to the abdomen, etc. So they will all remain, the prostate and then the kidney, etc. Some of those organs, they will remain in perfect health. And some of the diseases which are there in advanced societies, they are absent in some of these people. They just, in the community itself, they don't exist, some of the diseases. So If you look at the types of diseases that are prevalent in a society, you can make an estimate of the social life, the social ethos can be understood. For example, presently India is the world capital of diabetes, present India. Whereas in the American society, the major public health problem is overweight and obesity. So from such issues we can understand the social ethos, what kind of social life is going on, based on the diseases. Anyway, so sharira arjavam, this may look very simple and even silly, and even people may question, why should we not sit in a sofa? What is the problem? So we can afford a sofa, so we shall sit in a sofa. Why not? So this kind of argument shows the lack of that understanding. That only betrays ignorance. It doesn't sound very nice. And the sharira arjavam, it must be a practice. Sitting cross-legged on the soft surface with the back straight daily for some time. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You do not know how much wonders, how much service you will be doing to the body in practicing this simple asana daily. And that goes a long way in making the body and in turn the mind also pure. So this is the sharira arjavam. Then the arjavam in speech. Total absence of sarcasm, satire itself is now, and then censure, and then complaint, etc. Total absence of these things. A kind of a kindred spirit, cheerfulness, all the time cheerful, not complaining at all, not grumbling, no sarcasm, no censure of others. Very friendly and loving and forgiving, and so that is called vachika arjavam. Then manasika arjavam, total absence of self-aggrandizement, the ego aggrandizement. Total absence means amanitvam in a way. So that is also has the arjavam, also has the elements of amanitvam. When you don't have that mana, that ego aggrandizement as part of life, then the mind becomes very straightforward, very fair and forthright and pure. That is, also it is said, the arjavam is self-abnegation, means the ego is recognized and dismantled piece by piece. So that is called arjavam. Then, acharyopasanam shaucham. Shaucha is purity. Again, there are two levels. Acharyopasanam, I will come to the next class. I will not be able to finish now. This shaucham, shaucham has an element of meditation in it. So I thought maybe the time that is available to us, we can have a small meditation session. And therefore, acharyopasanam will be done in the next class. We will do shaucham now, so that we will have a small session of meditation also. Shaucham is of two kinds. Body shaucham and antara shaucham, the manas shaucham, the purity of the mind. So Shankara, in the context of shaucha, he talks of kaya, the body, and also of manasaha. So in manasaha, pratipaksha bhavanaya, ragadi malanam apanayanam shaucham. So there are the impurities in the mind, especially the ill will. So the hatred and ill will, enmity, the feeling of enmity towards a given person or a few persons or even a group of people. So we are against that group because that group has a collective ego, a collective title or name. So collective characteristic. That kind of ill will, etc., it is a major irritant for the mind. And when the mind is not pure, it has such irritant like ill will, so even if you do meditation, it will lead you nowhere. And any religious rituals, etc., they become very superficial, and they are more of ego aggrandizement than any real spiritual growth. Therefore, one has to strive for that inner purity of the mind. And how to cultivate that shaucham? So Shankara says pratipaksha bhavana. He is just borrowing a phrase from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So Patanjali said vipaksha badhane pratipaksha bhavanam. There is a sutra, and that is what Shankara is referring to in the context of shaucham. So what we do is, we first acknowledge that any ill will or enmity the feeling of adversity against another, the feeling of the other person is an adversary, that kind of a feeling, And so that is a big irritant in the mind. It is like holding acid in a vessel. The vessel gets corroded. And so my heart should not be corroded by this ill will. It should be neutralized. And so how do you neutralize? So by invoking the opposite. So the opposite of ill will is goodwill. So by invoking the goodwill in a very deliberate process of meditation, so we neutralize the negative feeling. So that is the meditation session now. So we sit in a meditative posture. So the cross-legged posture, whatever posture, and then keep the body straight. This is the Arjavam. Even you may stretch the back, you may do that. Straight means okay, it is straight only, not like that. It is straight only, if not straight, what else? Not like that. You have to make it really straight. Like means what? You stretch it. You stretch it. And then lock it. Stretch it and lock it. And now don't allow it to become again crooked. Let it remain straight. And so, keep the hands in the lap. So the palms upwards, the right hand in the left hand. The thumb comes up, the left thumb comes up and touches the right thumb. You put this hands in the lap in a convenient position, either close to the body or in the middle or a little ahead, little in the front, in whichever way it is convenient. But the hands are touching the body. So the shoulders and the biceps, triceps, etc. are touching the body, close to the body. And then look at the eyes. They are lightly closed. They are not pressing down. And then sport a smile on the lips. Already you can notice that the mind is very quiet and calm and quiet. It is that simple. To make the mind calm and quiet is not difficult at all. But all you have to do is you have to sit in the right posture. As you make this body straight, the mind becomes straight. Watch the surroundings. There is silence. So be aware of the silence in the surroundings. Be aware of the Prithivi, the earth. Always silent and peaceful. Be aware of the atmosphere, the skies, open skies. There is silence and peace, shanti in the open skies. Visualize the deep space of the planets, stars and galaxies, etc. There is unshakable peace and silence in the deep space. Now you look within yourself. There is silence and peace in myself, in my heart. Heart, not head. May I be well, happy and peaceful. May I be well, happy and peaceful. may the family members, the immediate family members, be well, happy, and peaceful. I now drop all my complaints against them. All complaints. Don't try to retain any single complaint. Don't say justifiable and all that. Just drop every complaint against the family members. Again, may the family members be well, happy and peaceful. May the relatives, all of them, no complaints, you may even specify some of them. Be well, happy, and peaceful. May my friends no gradation, all of them, all the friends. You may specify some of them. Be well, happy and peaceful. You try to intend what you say. You mean what you say. Don't do it routinely. Be deliberate. May the indifferent people be well, happy, and peaceful. May the birds and animals be well, happy, and peaceful. The heart is flowing with happiness and peace. Now I remember, I bring out enemy, an adversary, very specifically, one or two even, or maybe three. This adversary, this enemy, who did injustice against me, who misbehaved against me, who wronged me openly, be well, happy, and peaceful. One more time. May this adversary, If you don't have an adversary, you are already blessed. But if you have, you bring him out and pray wholeheartedly, may he or she be well, happy and peaceful. Finally, may I be well, happy and peaceful. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Sit at ease, keep the eyes closed, and sit comfortably. This is the loving kindness meditation. Don't underestimate its value. Try to practice it till you feel the spirit of love towards all. That is called Shaujam. Slowly open the eyes.